Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the largest segment of society. To those of you who have come to realize that the political, religious, military, economic, and media institutions are corrupt, that they are counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. Our phone number, if you would like to engage in this discussion, is 877-300-7645. Joint Chiefs General Martin Dempsey evidently is not alone when he said yesterday that he would recommend that the over 1,000, nearly 2,000 American troops now in Iraq be deployed, boots on the ground, right along with the Shiite Iranian backed military of Iraq, that they not only should be planning the assaults and coordinating them and providing their intelligence and guidance, but they should be leading them. Well, former Defense Secretary Robert Gates, who is up to his eyeballs in guilt over this whole mess, and that he not only was in that position while Afghanistan and Iraq were broken, where the United States used its military to make bad situations worse, whereby America created the mess that is haunting the world, including the Islamic State. Well, he says, yep, that's true, that President Obama will have to send U.S. troops back to Iraq to fight the Islamic militant group that arose in the presence of American troops. By the way, Joint Chiefs leader, General Martin Dempsey, and former Defense Secretary Robert Gates, now Boy Scout, coordinator, CEO, whatever they call the head Boy Sprout. But the Islamic State also agrees. They produced a two-minute trailer, a high-quality video presentation last night that they broadcast, whereby they're saying that the United States needs to send in ground troops, that the Islamic State is actually begging. I mean, begging may be the wrong term, but certainly cajoling the United States to send in ground troops. They want them. So the Islamic State wants ground troops. The former defense secretary, now Boy Scout leader, wants ground troops. The Joint Chiefs chairman, Martin Dempsey, wants ground troops. Obviously, the Obaminator wants another war and is sending ground troops to Iraq to facilitate his new war. Looks like everybody's in lockstep. We're going to go off and fight a war against the non-Islamic Islamic State. Why not? You got a military, you might as well use it. In his first interview about the Islamic State, the Boy Scout leader now, but then former defense secretary and former intelligence chief, yes, when Robert Gates was involved with the CIA, he ultimately rose to head honcho, director of the CIA. When he was with the CIA, he was the point man working with Zbigniew Brzezinski for telling the Taliban that Allah was on their side and so was America, and that America would be supplying the weapons to enable the Taliban to become a mighty military force against the Afghan government. The reality is, this is a quote from the Gatesmeister, they're not going to be able to be successful against ISIS strictly from the air or strictly depending on Iraqi forces or the Peshmerga, which means to embrace death, or the Sunni tribes acting on their own. Oh, come on, moron. Haven't you learned anything? I mean, you've got to have a college education. You've got to be literate. The Sunni tribes that were part of the awakening program are the Islamic State. It is what made the Islamic State. There would be no Islamic State had it not been for the American awakening program that you coordinated through Petraeus in the first place. So there will be boots on the ground. If there's to be any hope of success in this strategy, there is no hope of success, only a failure. There was no hope of success in the invasion of Afghanistan, only failure. It was a lose-lose scenario from the beginning. There was no hope of success in either of the two Iraqi invasions, only failure. The catastrophic failure that we have witnessed in both places is what was the most likely outcome, the outcome that I foretold. There is no hope of success. And I think that by continuing to repeat that statement that the U.S. won't put boots on the ground, the president, in effect, traps himself. Gates also says Obama's promise to destroy these groups may be unrealistic. Yeah, it is. Not only is it unrealistic, it's actually counterproductive. You see, when you engage an Islamic jihadist or mujahideen organization, you elevate their status. You make them more popular. You cause them to grow. It's like adding water and fertilizer to a plant. They love fighting. The Quran is all about fighting. They live to fight, and they fight to die. So when they can cajole an opponent, particularly an opponent like the United States, to engage in the fight, they're at the height of their popularity, of their ultimate, living out their ultimate desire. And so fighting the, according to Obama, the non-Islamic, Islamic State, all it does is make them more popular. There is no chance that they will be destroyed. And think about the consequence of destroying them. If you destroy them, then Iran continues to control all of Iraq, continues to develop their nuclear program, continues to be a menace to the world, continues to control Syria, continues to control Lebanon, continues to threaten Israel. That's bad. And there is no replacement for the Islamic State. The Nusra Front has all been, everything but neutered. Most of its best fighters have gone over to the Islamic State. And there are no moderate fighters engaged against Assad. Assad prevails. Then you look at the rest of the Islamic world. The increase in influence of Shia Islam remains if the Islamic State is neutered. And what is to be gained? Yes, so the Islamic State is a little more ruthless than al-Nusra, but only marginally so. The Islamic State is a little more ruthless than Hezbollah, but only marginally so. The Islamic State may be ever so slightly more belligerent than Hamas, but only marginally so. The Islamic State may be a bit more harsh than Sunni or Shia militants, but marginally so. And so, what is to be gained? At this point, there are no more Christians to annihilate. They've pummeled them into oblivion. The Zoroastrians were never a significant piece of the pie. The Kurds have their own little realm up there in the corner of northern Iraq. They're happy as clams. You know, the Assad regime is never going to return to prominence, as it once was, controlling Syria. What's to be gained? Particularly if you have to lie about the Islamic State and say they're not Islamic to engage in this war against Islam. Gates went on to say, I'm also concerned that the goal has been stated as degrade and destroy or degrade and defeat the Islamic State. We've been in war with Al-Qaeda for 13 years. We've dealt them some terrible blows, including killing Osama bin Laden. But I don't think anyone would say after 13 years we've destroyed or defeated Al-Qaeda. God, I hate these people. I just despise them. And you ought to despise them, too. Al-Qaeda was never a meaningful entity. The only time that Al-Qaeda even had a relative presence was when Gates himself was using them. Al-Qaeda wouldn't even exist if it hadn't been for Gates, Zygmunt Brzezinski, and Jimmy Carter renting the Taliban from Pakistan and then using Al-Qaeda, developing Al-Qaeda as a base to recruit additional jihadists into the first Afghanistan war. That's what created Al-Qaeda. We are their father. You know, it's like Darth Vader and Luke, Star Wars. I am your father, Gates should say to Al-Qaeda. And by the time the war was over and Al-Qaeda's request to war with Saddam Hussein on behalf of Saudi Arabia was denied in favor of King George I, Al-Qaeda simply faded into the woodwork. One of thousands of Islamic terrorist organizations. And Osama bin Laden's influence around the world, his popularity soared, but his influence fell to nothing. And it remained that way for quite some time. Today, if you were to actually name every member of Al-Qaeda, you probably couldn't come up with 200 names. I mean, the United States, with its trillion-dollar spy and war-making budget, can't have fought 200 people for 13 years and fought them to a draw. Surely, Gates doesn't think that we've dealt Al-Qaeda terrible blows. I mean, Osama bin Laden was withering away, a lonely old man with no influence on anybody in his last 5 or 6 years before America killed him. His death meant nothing. Al-Qaeda was nothing before his death, and it's been nothing after his death. So here's Gates continuing to promote the fantasy that we've been in war with Al-Qaeda for 13 years. No. We've been leagued with Al-Qaeda since the late 1970s. That's when Zygmunt Brzezinski came up with the plot. He wrote a letter to Jimmy Carter, and this was after Vietnam. And Zygmunt Brzezinski, who thought himself to be a genius, recognized that the United States had contributed to the deaths of American soldiers by building factories and supporting the Soviet Union to make the weapons that were deployed by the Vietnamese against American soldiers in Vietnam. And so he blamed the Russians for the deaths of some 60,000 Americans in Vietnam and America's loss of prestige. And certainly the Soviet Union, with America's manufacturing help, did contribute to the death of Americans. But America's fate in Vietnam was not a consequence of Soviet malfeasance, but American malfeasance. The Gulf of Tonkin was a lie. It was promoted by the military as a Vietnamese attack on a U.S. warship that, by the way, was in their waters. And the attack never occurred. It was an absolute lie. But the lie was used, just as these false beheadings have been used, to justify war. And it was presented to Congress. The Congress said, okay, we're not going to call it war, but you've got your approval to send in troops. Boots on the ground. We went into Vietnam on a lie. And then there was this domino theory that if that we were at war with the Soviet Union as a Cold War, and that they were gobbling up one country after another, and that if we did not intervene on behalf of democracy, that the whole world would succumb to the evil that is communism. Rubbish. We lost in Vietnam, and it didn't happen. So it's rubbish. It was a false theory. But beyond that, there was nothing that America had at stake in Vietnam. Our vital interests were not in Vietnam. We had no vital interest in Vietnam. And to deploy the U.S. military to force, compel choice, to compel democracy versus a political system that we didn't like, it's not the proper use of a military. Vietnam was a disaster for America because America made immoral and irrational choices, and Americans reacted patriotically. It was only when enough Americans said, this is stupid. Stop it. I don't want to support this anymore. I don't want to be associated with it. It is stupid. It has no chance of success. It is grotesquely immoral, what we're doing in Vietnam. Get out. That the politicians could no longer support the war machine. But Zbigniew Brzezinski wanted to blame the Soviet Union. He wanted to continue the fight. So he conceived this stupid idea of deploying the Taliban, fundamentalist Muslim Mujahideen, against the Soviet-backed government in Afghanistan by renting the Taliban from Pakistan, meaning providing Pakistan with billions of dollars worth of weapons to support the military state of Pakistan, which was supposedly what we were opposed to, and then to use these Mujahideen to wage a proxy war. And we armed them. $5 billion worth of weapons that Zbigniew Brzezinski and Jimmy Carter brought to bear. Millions of Afghanis were exiled from their country. As many as 2 million were killed in the Civil War. And then the ultimate bit of hypocrisy, Jimmy Carter said, we're not going to the Moscow Olympics because of the war in Afghanistan, when Jimmy Carter started the war and knew it. A disgusting scumbag that was the President of the United States. Those of you who voted for him ought to be ashamed. Raging anti-Semites today hasn't changed at all. I mean, can you imagine the idiots that America has elected president? I mean, you go from Jimmy Carter to a peanut farmer to an actor, and you follow that by a guy that is so far up the elitist scumbag hierarchy of this country in terms of banking cartels and international finance with scumbags and King George the First, and you follow that by the immoral Clinton, and you follow that by an absolute nincompoop in King George the Second. What's wrong with us? Continuing our survey of history, since Robert Gates nor the journalist working for the Washington Post who wrote down his statements seems to recall our history. It was during that period that Robert Gates was the front man for Zbigniew Brzezinski, and both of them are shown on videos telling the Taliban and this new emerging Al-Qaeda, as they were receiving advanced American weapons, weapons capable of shooting down aircraft and taking out tanks and armored personnel carriers, that Allah was on their side and that their religion was great and they would achieve a tremendous victory. And so America gave birth, Robert Gates being right there among them, to the Taliban and to Al-Qaeda. And we ought to keep that in mind, because we also gave rise to the Islamic State. It's a direct result of our invasion of Iraq. And our bombing of them, our declaration of war against them, is going to make them vastly more popular. And they're already vastly more popular than our Al-Qaeda ever dreamed of being. Vastly more successful. But following 9/11, which Al-Qaeda did not conceive the plot that is identified with them from 9/11. That is an absolute lie. It was conceived by Ramzi Youssef, and Ramzi Youssef was already in prison for the first bombing of the World Trade Center before the second bombing of the World Trade Center took place. And it was staffed primarily out of the Al-Qaeda Mosque in Hamburg, Germany. No Al-Qaeda affiliation. That after that, while Al-Qaeda managed to take credit for much of it, celebrated it certainly, as did every fundamentalist Muslim, they ceased to be relevant. They just faded into the woodwork. And by the time that that America killed him, he was completely irrelevant. He was sitting there in his little hovel with his gray beard and his dialysis equipment, dashing off handwritten letters, scolding people and saying, you know, you don't listen to me anymore. You don't do what I ask you to do. You have no affiliation with me. He and his organization were completely irrelevant. And yet, we claim that we're continuing to fight them. How can you fight them? They don't exist. They're a figment of our imagination. There is make-believe is saying the Islamic State isn't Islamic. The United States has created a fake enemy for the purpose of deploying its military. And this man has been at the forefront of that deception. He went on to say, and so I think. No, you don't think. That's the problem. Sir, you don't think. To promise that we're going to destroy the Islamic State or or ISIL sets a goal that may be unattainable. It isn't maybe unattainable. It is absolutely unattainable. Unless the world were to set out to destroy Islam, then the Islamic State cannot be destroyed. You know, you don't destroy a disease by simply eradicating one manifestation of that disease. If you're going to destroy the disease, you have to destroy the source of the disease. You know, if there are 1,000 wildfires around the world and you say, I'm going to destroy one of those wildfires, and there are still 999 more of them, what have you accomplished? And that's the situation we find ourselves in. The catalyst for the wildfire is Islam. And we have started this war by disassociating the enemy, the Islamic State, from Islam. And therefore, trying to destroy the Islamic State without acknowledging that the menace is Islam is absolutely, wholly, and completely impossible. It cannot be done. I could give you every weapon in the world. I could give you every soldier in the world. I could give you every general officer in the world. I could give you all of the world's riches. I could give you all of the world's scholars and thinkers. And I could give you 1,000 years. And you would not be able to destroy the Islamic State if you began by disassociating the Islamic State from the only thing that is meaningful to them, Islam. When you're dealing with a religious foe, bullets and bombs, military strategies exacerbate the problem. Always have. Always will. There is no military solution to terrorism. There is no military solution to Islam. And Islam and terrorism are one and the same today. The only thing that can be successfully wielded at Islam is the truth. And yet the Abominator began this attack by promoting one of the most egregious lies ever rendered from the Oval Office when he said, let me make two things clear. First of all, the Islamic State is not Islamic. No God endorses the killing of innocents. And second, they are not a state. Read the Quran. Read the first 9 surahs of the Quran. Read the Hadith, whether you read the life of Muhammad or the history of Islam by al-Bukhari. It doesn't matter. Read any one of those 3 books. It's Oxford Press. Gulim is the translator. It's called The Life of Muhammad. It's actually the Sirah in Islam, which means biography. It's the oldest written collection of hadith, which are all reports from Muhammad and his followers, and therefore the most legitimate, the most important, the most authentic presentation of Muhammad's life. And in this document that is the first to present the words and deeds of Muhammad, Muhammad is shown as a pedophile, as a rapist, as a terrorist, as a mass murderer, as incestuous, as a sexist, as a liar, as sadistic, as stunningly stupid. Read it. Come to know how utterly ridiculous Islam is, so that you can use the Islamic sources against Islam. That's how you defeat it. That's how you eliminate Islamic terrorism. Then read Al-Tabari's history. Sunni Press. By Sunni, it's the State University of New York Press. Get the first 8 or 9 volumes. It's volumes, the middle volumes of those that are the most intriguing. This is the first compilation of hadith as a historical presentation of Islam's formation. It reads just like the Sirah. The first Muslims were thugs. Muhammad was a terrorist. He was a slave trader. He was a kidnapper. He's just a reprehensible individual. And then with those 2 biographical accounts, in historical accounts, chronological presentations of hadith, use those hadith to put the most popular hadith collection into chronological order, the Quran, and set it into the context of Muhammad's life. It's the basis of Prophet of Doom. That's what Prophet of Doom does, making it the best documented, most contextual and chronological and comprehensive presentation of Islam's 5 earliest sources. Read it. Come to know the truth. Come to know that the behaviors that we're witnessing being perpetrated by the Islamic State were the same behaviors perpetrated by Muhammad. And read the fact that the Quran tells Muslims to follow Muhammad's orders and examples. And Muhammad ordered all Muslims to be jihadists, to wage a never-ending war until everyone submitted to Allah and Islam. Every Muslim cleric knows that. Every Muslim cleric knows that Muhammad was a pedophile and a rapist. You know, we're having a conniption fit over Ray Rice punching his then-fiancée, now-wife, in the face and then pulling her out of the elevator. And yet, we're enriching a religion. We're arming and abetting a religion that treats women as if they were animals to be tortured. with no rights. Beating them, flogging them, stoning them, raping them, depriving them of all dignity. And yet we don't seem to care. You have the National Organization of Women calling for Roger Goodell to resign. Never hit a woman. Spoke out against demeaning women. And yet, she doesn't say boo about Islam. Or Muhammad in his farewell sermon told Muslims, it's okay for you to beat your wives. It's okay for you to starve them. It's okay for you to lock them in a closet naked. It's okay for you to rape them. And we say nothing about it. Well, Robert Gates, it's time that you wake up. It's time that you actually start to think. And that you realize that when you begin with lies, when you're the source for creating a terrorist organization, you can't be tasked with the plan to eradicate them. And when you disassociate from that organization, their very nature, you have no chance of prevailing against them. The final comments by Robert Gates, what a disgusting human being, says that the promise to destroy the Islamic State may be unobtainable as opposed to devastating it, whereas the vice president said, would put it, following them to the gates of hell and dealing them terrible blows that prevent them from holding territory. Those are probably unrealistic goals. No, the first of those is absolutely realistic. You want to follow the Islamic State to the gates of hell, they'll lead you right there. You can take your soldiers and your politicians and the like, and you can follow them right to the gates of hell, because they're going to take you right there. That's where they're going, and that's where they'll drag you. You want to engage with them, you're going to go right to the gates of hell. And don't think for a moment that God is on our side. Not true. God is not interested in our troops. God does not support our troops. God is not present on that battlefield. But you'll find the gates of hell if you follow them. Joe Biden, after making that statement, drew fire from a prominent Jewish group yesterday. After he described unscrupulous bankers who prey on servicemen and servicewomen deployed overseas as Shylocks, a term frequently used in an anti-Semitic pretext. Shylock represents the medieval stereotype about Jews and remains an offensive characterization to this day. The vice president should have been more careful. Anti-Defamation League National Director Abraham Foxman said, Shylock, the villain in Shakespeare's The Merchant of Venice, is a Jewish moneylender who mercilessly demands a pound of flesh from the merchant who defaults on a loan. Now, we don't know who Shakespeare was, but the most compelling argument, it's the same guy that created the King James Bible on behalf of King Iams for political reasons, Sir Francis Bacon. He was a Rosicrucian, means that he was part of the occult. And as part of the occult, he was anti-Semitic. So we shouldn't be surprised that in a British play, the British have been extraordinarily anti-Semitic for a long time, that there would be a Shakespearean play with titled Merchants of Venice, where the moneylender would be Jewish and he would be merciless with a pound of flesh from those who default on a loan. Now, the fact of the matter is, if you default on a loan, there should be consequences. The service men and women, and they shouldn't be called service men and women, they should be called soldiers, those too stupid to recognize that they ought not engage in the U.S. military, too immoral to recognize that it's a force for evil. Ought not, have any privileges relative to their loans. You know, if the U.S. military is going to take them away, let's say that it's in the case of the reserves, and they wanted the extra money from the reserves, knowing the government could call them up, then good God, that's your problem. Don't sign up for the reserves. If the government is pulling you back because they have access to you 7 years after you retire from the military, then pin the blame on the military, not the bankers. Pin the blame on the government for passing that kind of legislation, for controlling people's lives. Not the bankers. It's not the bankers' fault. It's the military's fault. So this whole anger is misplaced. It's the anger ought not be at bankers. It ought to be in the government for constantly pulling people off to war. It's bankrupt the whole country doing this. But to use Shylock, a term that was in The Merchant of Venice, to describe a Jewish moneylender who is presented as merciless, is just disgusting. The Vice President of the United States should have to resign over that statement. Now, whether the 16th century play is anti-Semitic or reflects on anti-Semitism of the time is a subject of frequent and bitter debate, and it clearly is. But the term Shylock is offensive enough that Florida stripped it from state law back in 2009. I guess the Vice President didn't get that memo. We'll return to Shattering Myths after the commercial and news break.